Today is Wednesday, December 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Merry Christmas, and as the faithful around the world celebrate Christmas, a Muslim country that cannot get enough of the holiday cheer.
These days, Christians celebrate Tabaski, and our Christian brothers stand with us by celebrating it with us.
How celebrities are helping the homeless get through Christmas. Also ahead, songs for the season. It's all on today's International Edition. Thousands of pilgrims and tourists descended on the Palestinian-ruled Bethlehem in the West Bank to celebrate Christmas. Robert Berger was there and files this report.
Christmas Eve celebrations got off to a festive start here at Manger Square in Bethlehem. Palestinian boy and girl scouts marched past a giant Christmas tree in front of the ancient Church of the Nativity, the traditional birthplace of Jesus. Local Palestinians watched the parade along with pilgrims from around the world. Michael Aliprandini is from the U.S. state of Arizona.
I'm happy to be here and see the different sites and how each culture interprets devotion to God in different ways.
The atmosphere was more solemn inside the church, where pilgrims visited the Grotto of the Nativity. Sylvia Nakazibwe came from Uganda.
It's quite a very life-changing experience for me, because since childhood I've always read the Bible, I've read about where Jesus was born, but sometimes you just keep imagining and not being sure. But coming here has increased my faith.
It was a big turnout this year thanks to a lull in West Bank violence. Bethlehem's Palestinian mayor, Anton Salman.
The message of Bethlehem always was a message of peace, hope, and justice for everybody.
But Salman told VOA that he is pessimistic about the prospects for peace with Israel. He blamed U.S. President Donald Trump for recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moving the American embassy there from Tel Aviv last year.
Trump, instead of bringing peace to the region, he make it more complicated. And with that, he didn't serve the peace process or the meanings of peace.
President Trump has said his announcement regarding Jerusalem does not mean the U.S. is taking a position on any final status issues, including the specific boundaries of the Israeli sovereignty in Jerusalem or the resolution of contested borders. He said the U.S. remained committed to a two-state solution if the parties want one. Robert Berger for VOA News, Bethlehem.
President Trump and First Lady Melania were greeted with cheers as they attended a music-filled Christmas Eve church service at Family Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. They are spending Christmas at the president's Mar-a-Lago estate. Pastor Jimmy Scroggins and his family greeted the Trumps as they arrived moments into a candlelight Christmas celebration and received applause and cheers, as you heard, while taking reserved seats in the church's third pew. Trump earlier called military service members stationed across the world to share greetings ahead of the Christmas holiday, speaking by video conference from his private club in Florida, where he is on a two-week vacation. Trump wished the troops an amazing Christmas. The group included Marines in Afghanistan, an Army unit in Kuwait, a Navy ship in the Gulf of Aden, and an Air Force base in Missouri, along with a Coast Guard station in Alaska. Well, the Christmas spirit encompassing the old and new is alive in historic Williamsburg, Virginia, in the U.S. The colonial town dates back to the 1600s, while nearby Busch Gardens Amusement Park opened in the 1970s. Both places are displaying different but unique holiday decorations, making Williamsburg one of the best places in the United States to visit during the Christmas season. VOA's Deborah Block takes us on a tour.
Christmas came in with a bang in colonial Williamsburg, where a fife and drum corps brought in the holiday spirit. And at nearby Busch Gardens Christmastown, an eye-popping light show illuminates a German village. During the holiday season, the theme park turns into a winter wonderland, decorated with 11 million lights, making it one of the largest Christmas displays in North America. This mother and daughter say Christmastown is magical.
Everything's lit up and festive and bright and just makes you happy.
It's really nice and fun, and there's a lot of things to do. Go on the train and look at the lights, and the lights are really pretty.
This visitor enjoys Christmastown's recreated European villages.
Experiencing the different cultures, even though it's not, you're not there, you feel like you're there. The different architecture and the food, too.
Here in this Irish pub, visitors are getting a dark beer called stout. And in this old German village, the sweet smell of gingerbread brings people into a cookie shop. Colonial Williamsburg also feels like another place and time. Williamsburg became the capital of the Virginia colony in 1699. Some 18th century buildings have been restored, while others were reconstructed on their original foundation. Today, the town is a living historic museum.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well, my friends.
Christmas in Colonial Williamsburg was much simpler than it is today.
Christmas was more a celebration of going to church and feasting, parties, dances. They would tuck holly sprigs in the window panes or some evergreen.
In 1842, Williamsburg became the first town in the American colonies to have a decorated Christmas tree.
A small tabletop tree decorated with gilded walnuts and balls surrounded by red gauze and lit with candles.
Today, this Christmas tree in the Folk Art Museum contains 2,000 handmade ornaments inspired by pieces in the collection.
I see this. It's up, all the way up there.
This object is traced from a piece in the collection that was cut by a woman who was born without any arms, and she cut with her teeth and her toes.
As these holiday iron basket crescents burn, while the fife and drums play on a colonial street, visitors are invited to think about a simpler time and the roots of America's enduring Christmas traditions. Deborah Block, VOA News, Williamsburg.
As millions across the globe attended religious services, Pope Francis led Christmas Eve Mass at the Vatican. Francis offered a prayer for peace and assured the faithful on Christmas Eve that God loves everyone, quote, even the worst of us, as he celebrated the joyous birth of Christ after a less than joyful year of scandals and opposition.
Domine Jesu Christe, Christi Apostolis Tuis, Pacem Relinquo.
With a choir singing the classic hymn, the First Noel, Francis processed down the center aisle at St. Peter's Basilica late Tuesday and unveiled a statue of the newborn Jesus lying in a nativity scene at the foot of the altar. Well, Senegal, home to the largest mosque in West Africa and with a 95% Muslim population, is widely recognized for its strict adherence to Islam. And yet, each year at Christmas, streets and city squares are aglow with holiday lights and storefronts filled with tinsel and Christmas trees. So how do Senegalese people reconcile their devotion to Islam with their love for the Christmas holiday? Annika Hammerslag reports from Dakar.
Street vendors carrying skullcaps and prayer beads weave in and out of traffic in Dakar's busy Sandaga market. It's a typical weekday in this Muslim-majority country where taxi drivers often pull over to pray on the sidewalk, and mosques can be found just about everywhere, even on the beach. But in December, Senegal's vendors also peddle shimmering tinsel, metal ornaments, and plastic Christmas trees. Diaga Gyai sells Christmas trees for between 20 to 50 U.S. dollars, depending on the size. He says he typically sells two per day. He says it's mostly Muslims who buy the trees, because Senegal is a secular country. Everyone is the same, says Gyai. Christians participate in Muslim holidays, and Muslims do the same during Christian holidays, he says. But it's mostly Muslims who buy the trees, says Gyai. This time of year, Christmas decorations light up Dakar's city squares and storefronts. At La Parisienne Bakery, snowflakes are glued to the windows and nutcrackers adorn countertops. Business director Abi Boudad says his customers love the decorations. Senegal's Christians also celebrate Muslim holidays, such as Eid al-Adha, the festival of the sacrifice, known as Tabaski, says Dad. These days, Christians celebrate Tabaski, and our Christian brothers stand with us by celebrating it with us, he says. So it is normal for us Muslims to try to stand with Christians, to celebrate Christmas with them, says Dad. We are a united people. We are all the same, he says. There is no difference. Certainly, each respects the other in his difference and in his religion, adds Dad. At restaurant Pâtisserie des Ambassades, the servers wear Santa Claus hats and aprons. Outside, Abdou Diop is dressed in a Santa Claus suit and sitting on a sleigh. Behind him, a horse-drawn cart rolls along the street. It's 80 degrees and sunny, but Diop says the heavy costume and beard don't bother him. When he was little, he says his parents would take him to sit on Santa's lap, a fond memory. He says it demonstrates the social inclusion that's so prevalent in their country. They're united, they're one, says Diop. When Muslims celebrate their holidays, the Christians participate and vice versa, he says. It shows the social cohesion and the strength of Senegal, says Diop. While Muslim Senegal's Christmas is limited to the commercial and secular, it is still a celebration of the Christian holiday and the unity of this West African nation. Annika Hammerschlag for VOA News, Dakar.
Well, the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah continues around the world. YouTuber Peter Jacobson tells the story of how this eight-day festival of lights began.
Long ago in the land of Israel, in the center of the walled city of Jerusalem, there stood a beautiful temple. Outside of Israel, though, there lived a very wicked man named Antiochus, the king of Syria. The king did not like people who had beliefs different than his own, and so he went around the world forcing his religion on all the people he conquered. When Antiochus and his army invaded Israel and took it over, he decreed that only his gods could be worshipped. He made the Jews swear that they would give up their religion and customs and follow his instead. He also commanded that all of the Jewish temples be converted or destroyed, including the beautiful one in Jerusalem. Those who refused to follow Antiochus' commands were to be severely punished. Some Jews obeyed Antiochus out of fear, but others were brave enough to refuse. Judah Maccabee was one such man. Judah and his brothers were all strong fighters who formed an army of their own to fight King Antiochus and his men. Although they were greatly outnumbered, the Maccabees fought the Syrian army with all their might. With the strength that only comes from fighting for something you truly believe in, Judah and the Maccabees defeated Antiochus and his army and triumphantly reclaimed the temple in Jerusalem. However, when they entered the temple for the first time, they were shocked to see it in shambles. The golden pitchers were all tarnished, the marble floors were cracked, and there was no oil to light the menorah. They began cleaning the temple, removing every sign and symbol of the religion that had been forced upon them by their invaders. As they worked, they found a small container of oil. They all knew the little oil they had would only be enough for one night, but then a miracle took place. Instead of going out, the lamps kept burning and burning. They burned for 8 days and 8 nights, and this way the Maccabees knew God was with them. That is why we celebrate Hanukkah every year, and why we light 8 candles in our menorahs.
Well, with the first all-female crew to fly into the stars, humankind is reaching farther than ever into space as 2019 draws to a close. The year in space exploration was marked by a number of headlines, including an online prank that put the United States Air Force on high alert. VOA's Arash Arabasadi takes a look at 2019 in space as told from a newsroom on Earth.
Another year in history as 2019 roars into the abyss. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft snapped photos of Ultima Thule from as close as 28,000 kilometers away. Ultima Thule is believed to be the most primitive object ever encountered by a spacecraft. The night sky treated stargazers around the world to a total lunar eclipse. This happens in the rare, perfect alignment of the sun, moon, and earth.
I've never seen something like this. It's interesting to learn about all of this in one night and see the effect, which is so beautiful.
A super blood moon followed, reflecting the Earth's glow during the eclipse. In March, SpaceX launched its unmanned Dragon 2 spacecraft to gather data to guide manned flights of the future.
Shot capture confirmed.
It docked on its own instead of getting help from a robotic arm. ISS crew took air samples along the capsule's lone passenger, a test dummy named Smarty. Back in February, SpaceX launched a rocket carrying a lunar lander named Bereshit, Hebrew for In the Beginning. The mission partnered SpaceX with an Israeli NGO, and all went well until an engine failure in April crashed the lander into the moon. The Department of Defense hopped on board a SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket in June to certify it for future national security launches. It was the first military flight aboard a recycled rocket. Both side boosters made precision landing, while the new core booster was not as lucky. Chile darkened in July as the moon covered the sun, creating a total solar eclipse, which happens somewhere on Earth about once every 18 months. August, in China, a private company called Link Space completed what it said was a third successful rocket launch and landing. Engineers tested the craft, seen here at a test site in April. In September, Hurricane Dorian ravaged the Bahamas. Seen here from the ISS, Dorian was one of the most powerful hurricanes ever recorded. Storm Area 51 began as a joke event on Facebook. The research facility, long a favorite of alien conspiracy theorists, exists on a high-security military base in Nevada. Millions online expressed interest in the event, prompting the Air Force to basically say, "Don't even think about it."
We've got a very polite police presence who is making sure that nothing happens, but it ended up being really fun, and everyone's just sort of hanging out.
In the end, fewer than 200 partied in the desert. Christina Koch and Jessica Meyer made history. In October, the two became the world's first female spacewalking team when they left the ISS to fix a broken part of the power network. It was Meyer's first spacewalk, and she became the 15th woman and 228th person to ever perform one. The two set their sights to the future and again making history.
The idea of having the honor of being the first woman to walk on the moon is almost too great to fathom. Of course, it would be a dream of mine and has been my entire life. But for now, I'll just settle for knowing that I'll probably at least know the first woman to walk on the moon. Hint, hint.
NASA captured these videos of Mercury passing in front of the sun in something called transit. Transit happens only about 13 times in an entire century. It is unlikely the next pass happens before 2032. India's space agency launched a lunar craft back in July and lost communication with it in September.
I watched when communication to the lander was lost. I saw the disappointment in your faces. What you achieved is no small feat. The country is proud of you and has learned a lot from this hard work.
It wasn't until December that NASA, helped by an Indian IT engineer, confirmed the crash landing. Finally, SpaceX delivered genetically modified mice to the ISS just in time for the holidays. The mighty mice may shed light on how we age and how our bodies break down. Live long and prosper. Until we see you next year. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Planet Earth.
And there it is, successful deployment of the Dragon spacecraft. There is a view inside the unpressurized section of cargo's of Dragon's trunk.
This is Science in a Minute.
In 2012, NASA's Kepler spacecraft discovered three odd exoplanets circling a 500-million-year-old star some 2,400 light-years away. 2 years later, scientists found that the planet seemed to have a lower density than any planet in the solar system, and that they appeared to be light, fluffy, and resembled cotton candy, the favorite circus treat. A team of scientists led by researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder recently used the Hubble Space Telescope to confirm these earlier findings and find that the planets in the Kepler-51 star system represent a new class of exoplanets nicknamed superpuffs. According to NASA, although they each have a mass that's no more than several times that of Earth, because of their atmospheres of hydrogen and helium are so bloated, they are nearly the size of Jupiter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You're listening to International Edition. Back in a minute.
Need a little straight talk? Want to make sense of the world around you? Ask a question. Hear what others have to say? If so, Voice of America has a variety of talk shows for you. Lifestyle, health, politics, youth, sports. We have it all. Tune into our discussion shows on the radio, TV, or the internet. They examine a wide variety of issues and world events not always covered by other media. VOA.
Jazz America.
This is Russ Davis, and on my program Jazz America, I carry on the tradition begun decades ago by the great Willis Conover by exploring the wonders of a century of jazz history. I'll cover it all from Dixieland to swing to bebop to modal, free jazz, fusion, world jazz, contemporary, and beyond. Plus, you'll hear the words of the artists themselves as they tell their incredible stories. Join me for Jazz America, Saturdays and Sundays at 13 hours Universal Time, online at voanews.com and the Voice of America.
VOA's International Edition continues. Television stars and local officials in California have brought holiday cheer to the homeless in the Skid Row section of Los Angeles. Mike O'Sullivan tells us the volunteers brightened the holiday for growing numbers of people facing homelessness.
Nearly 59,000 homeless people in Los Angeles County, three quarters without shelter. Their tents and makeshift housing lines the streets. A break from the chilly weather and holiday meal for the homeless and neighborhood residents, served by Hollywood celebrities and others. One formerly homeless man has found shelter here at the Los Angeles Mission, a religious charity that offers job training and counseling and which hosts this annual party.
But it is hard. I mean, sleeping on the street, sleeping in a tent, or not having nowhere to use the restroom at.
The Christmas celebration is a tradition in Skid Row, home to low-income families and many of L.A.'s homeless. It's hardest for those on the street.
There is help, but there's not enough help. So they would have to start off by housing them, you know what I mean, by the hundreds, probably by thousands.
And homelessness is only getting worse, up 12% this year in Los Angeles County.
Unfortunately, I think everyone's trying, but there's not enough shelter and not enough affordable housing at the other end.
A welcome break and a few hours of cheer at Christmas. But a harsh reality awaits on the street. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And we leave you today with wishes of tidings and joy for the season. Whether you are Jewish or Christian or Muslim, and whatever holiday you celebrate, we wish you good tidings, peace, and joy. And may the coming year find us all more peaceful, healthy, prosperous, and fulfilled. And we thank you so much for listening to us.
Tonight is the night, sunset, twilight, head back, come along, take flight. I am twinkling, I'm sprinkling, I'm shooting in the sky, I'm shining, and I'm feeling alright. Light a candle for the one you love, peace and light from below to above. 8 nights, celebrate till I fly in the sky like a dove. Let me unwind as I light up a flame in the name of the Lion of Judah. Drop like a hammer when I fall like the rain, sun shower, feel a power when I hit. Like a train. Happy Hanukkah, I wanna give a gift to you. Light up the night, my love, shine through.
And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be very special Christmas for me. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and
an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
December 25th is one of Christianity's most important holy days, a commemoration of the birth some 2,000 years ago of Jesus Christ, revered by Christians as the incarnate God, the Savior, the light of the world. From time immemorial, people have celebrated the winter solstice as the fading of the light gives way to the promise of nature's renewal. Celebrating the birth of Jesus near the time of the solstice capitalized on these ancient yearnings and midwinter observances, which still are present in other communities across the world. The Chinese and a number of East Asian peoples celebrate Dongji. The Yalda Festival is a celebration of the winter solstice in Iran, while the Japanese observe Toji. The celebrations are varied, but everywhere the spirit of cheer and optimism prevails. For Christians, what echoes through the centuries is the announcement by an angel that first Christmas night of a birth and its promise. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. As President Donald Trump has said,
each and every year at Christmas time, we recognize that the real spirit of Christmas is not what we have. It's about who we are. Each one of us is a child of God. That is the true source of joy this time of the year. That is what makes every Christmas merry. We pray that our country will be a place where every child knows a home filled with love, a community rich with hope, and a nation blessed with faith.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.